This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Sharp Money, as we welcome you in, hour two. I thought hour one was tremendous. I'll just say that. Jonathan Von Tobel sitting in for Amal. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. We welcome you in. Some stream talk during the break, and it had nothing to do with the hurricane, with Glenn Clark, who joins us now. We're going to talk Ravens, host the Press Box, 10 a.m. to noon. Also, 105.7, the Fan, Ravens postgame, and he joins us. Hi, Glenn. How are you?
If you thought hour one was good, just wait until we get more into that stream talk here in hour number two. Oh, we are really stepping things up. What's going on, Patrick?
What's going on, Glenn? The stream talk was disturbing. I'll just say that. Now, we move on to the Ravens, a little less disturbing. 11, let's see. Let me get the total. JBT, what is it? It's 10.5, under, juiced up to 120. Right now, plus 235 in division. Is that what you have, Jonathan?
That is correct. That is correct.
Okay, so we do have a preseason game tonight. That number bet all the way down to one. Let's start with the Ravens and just overall vibes. The Marlon Humphrey injury, is this a big concern?
Yeah, it is. There's no question about it. It was the player they could second least afford to lose on this roster. They are not deep. They went out and got Ronald Darby. We'll see, coming off a serious injury. But, you know, the other weird part about it is how kind of nebulous they're being in terms of what the actual timetable is. So we're dealing with some of the shock of last year, hearing the words weeks to or days to weeks for Lamar Jackson. Then he didn't play again all season long. So everyone that I've talked to is suggest this is early season, that Marlon Humphrey will be back, that this was just the timing of trying to get it, the procedure done before the season began. But boy, they are really, really thin in the secondary without him. Week two, they've got a Bengals team. We know who the receivers are there. We'll see where Joe Burrow's at. But I, you know, you got to hope that by week four, you get the two AFC South games in the first 3 weeks. They should be okay in that circumstance. But the Bengals game is very concerning to send this group of corners out there against that group of receivers.
So sticking with the defense really quick, Glenn, am I wrong in thinking like, hey, you know, there is some upside with this defensive line, both interior and edgewise, but I still have some questions about how effective this defensive line can be. I think people view it as a strength, but I think it could have like an average kind of feel to it. Am I wrong?
Man, I don't know if I go with average. I get it. Like Calais Campbell, I think people are being too dismissive of what you lose when you lose a Calais Campbell. And they are very young. Broderick Washington, Justin Matabike, Travis Jones have all had their moments, but none of them have proven to be true, you know, difference makers, game breakers. So I can understand the thought process. I really think the edge is where everything, that will determine everything about this defense, right? David Ajabo, everybody thought was a first round pick. He gets hurt, and so he slips the Ravens in the second round. If healthy, he can show why it is that everybody believed he was a first round pick. That changes a lot of things. But Adafe Owe has done very little during his tenure as a pro. They're asking a lot of him. They didn't bring back Justin Houston. They do bring in Jadeveon Clowney. I have no idea what to expect out of Jadeveon Clowney in the year of our Lord 2023. But I think in total, there are some question marks there. I do think the young defensive linemen, there's reason for optimism about what they can be.
Glenn Clark here, Sharp Money. Of course, you've got Washington, Baltimore, the scrimmages. What have you heard thus far? Just got hit on my screen down to one. What have you heard with the joint practice here?
They were fighting every moment of 2 days. I mean, it was to the point where I thought some of the media members were going to start fighting with each other. Brian Mitchell and I might have started throwing blows. Look, I hate this preseason win streak. It drives me nuts because, as we all know, the only times that winning in the preseason matters is if you're betting. And if you are, I know I'm on VSiN, but maybe seek help. Like, maybe it's a bit too much for you to be trying to determine this. It has mattered. It has been reliable to bet the Ravens, although they did just win by 1 point in their first preseason game. I don't know. They're not playing regulars. They refuse to, even as every other team. Aaron Rodgers is playing in the preseason, and the Ravens are still allergic to putting their regulars out there, and yet they've continued to win anyway. It's a very weird bit. It's worked. Don't. I mean, there's got to be something else for you to bet. There's got to be a cricket match somewhere. I think they're playing tennis in like Winston-Salem or Cleveland. There's got to be something else for you to bet on besides trying to figure out what it is that Anthony Brown is going to do against a bunch of guys that are going to be working at FedEx in a couple of months.
No, there isn't. Football's king. So no Tyler Huntley then?
Yeah, no, Tyler, they're going with Josh Johnson and Anthony Brown, which I guess is their way of announcing that Tyler Huntley is their backup quarterback. They were suggesting that that was a battle coming in. Look, man, I thought that maybe they had worked out like a deal with ESPN. It's Monday Night Football. Please do us a favor. Put some players on the field. But the Ravens are saying, no, they're just not going to do it. They are. Ever since J.K. Dobbins got hurt in a preseason game a couple years ago, they have really been allergic to putting regulars on the field in the preseason. And kind of doesn't matter to them what Patrick Mahomes is playing on terrible turf, on turf that makes just looking at it RG3's knee buckles. And yet, for some reason, the Ravens won't put anybody on the field.
Let's talk about the weapons. What has Jackson said about his weapons? This has to be, I mean, you're talking Zay Flowers, who could be the steal. Bateman, we shall see. Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be motivated. Andrews, J.K. Dobbins, I believe, going to be a free agent after this year. Let's talk about the weapons offensively.
Look, it was great for them to get both Dobbins and Bateman back on the field last week, and it gives them their full complement of guys. And there is no question that this is the best group of playmakers that Lamar Jackson has ever had as a Baltimore Raven. Now, that's a very low bar. I mean, that's an extraordinarily low bar, but this could be the best set of playmakers the Ravens have ever had as a franchise at the same time. I do feel like somehow we're getting lost a little bit. Mark Andrews is still the guy here. Like, I saw a number floating around that the touchdown total for Mark Andrews is 6.5. We're overthinking that a little bit. Mark Andrews is still the guy for this football team. There's no question about that. Now, Zay Flowers has looked remarkable in camp. And if they are willing to design the types of plays just to get the ball in his hands and allow him in space, and I think we have every reason to believe, knowing Todd Monken's track record, that that's what he's going to do. They're not going to give that type of stuff away. But given what we've seen from him, they'd almost be insane to not be designing plays uniquely for Zay Flowers. But look, Mark Andrews, in these scramble situations, Lamar Jackson is still going to be looking for Mark Andrews. In these scramble situations, particularly in the end zone, Lamar Jackson has such an amount of faith in Mark Andrews that let's not pretend like he's not still going to be the number one guy, even with better weapons on the field.
So, like, in general, then, what are the differences we're going to look like for this offense, and how many of those Twitter plays are going to make it into the playbook that Lamar found?
Right, the Twitter plays. Yeah, I don't know how many of those are going to make it into the playbook, but I would say the biggest difference is going to be that, like, we have seen that in the past the Greg Roman offense was going to be run centric. Yeah. And I think there's no doubt, while the Ravens aren't going to abandon the run altogether, it's still in their DNA. They want to be a team that's able to run the ball in cold weather in January. That's their thing. There is going to be a lot more opportunity there for throwing the ball around to these weapons. They didn't go out and get these guys to have them all be complaining about the fact that they're not getting the football in week two. And I think the best thing that we've seen about Todd Monken in his entire path is that he doesn't force a system, and he is willing to maneuver an offense and to be pliable and say, this is what we've got, let's work around it. So I expect fewer Lamar Jackson design runs. I think there's a lot of people that believe that Lamar Jackson is not going to run at all. Don't buy that. Like, he's going to run, but it's just going to be fewer design plays for him to run. There's going to be more spacing for him to have big runs in the middle of the field. So if you're thinking that that's going to be out of the offense altogether, the idea is spread things out a little bit more. There'll be more room there for Lamar Jackson take advantage of it as a runner.
Glenn Clark joins us talking Raven. I just don't see a weakness. JVT was talking about the front. Okay, maybe, but Roquan and Patrick Queen, tremendous in the middle. Kyle Hamilton, Marcus Williams on the back end. Of course, I think Rocky Asin is an upgrade over Marcus Peters. And then you go offensively. Stanley is finally healthy. A deep backfield. Where's the weakness? Do you like him in division at plus 235?
I struggle with that, right? I struggle with the division just because they've got to do it against the Bengals. And I keep coming back to it. I hear what you say about Rocky Asin. I'm still worried about their depth at corner. It falls off a cliff after that point. It's a bunch of guys you wouldn't want on the field. The Worleys, the Kevon Seymours of the world. These are not guys that you want to have playing in football games. And hopefully Marlon Humphrey's injury is not long-term, and that's not the case. But the depth at secondary, that cornerback specifically, concerns me, and they need to prove it as far as the edge rush is concerned. But to your point, that on paper, they look like they've got stuff sort of everywhere, and with a couple of questions marks defensively for the Bengals, like that, boy, that I could end up being very silly about this, because the Bengals' defensive question marks could end up proving to be their kind of poison as the year goes on, where the Ravens might just prove to be simply more balanced from week one to week 17. I love the over on the win total. I certainly think they're a playoff team. I'm still a little bit reluctant to bet them to win the AFC North.
How about so looking at the division, then I'll get your thoughts on this quickly, because I think the fly in the ointment is Cleveland. I've loaded up on a bunch of Cleveland stuff. Am I insane?
Yeah, I mean, I think you are, because it's Cleveland. But other than that, I get it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I understand everything that you're seeing. Clearly, it is a complete crapshoot. I keep trying to ask people out there, like, what is the story on Deshaun Watson?
Yep.
Is it just over, right? Like, did we just see a guy that in the time away from football regressed to a point where we're never going to see that guy again? I don't think that's the case, but clearly he's got to prove it. I get where there's a flyer there to be taken. If Deshaun Watson can be anything like the Deshaun Watson that we saw at the beginning of his career, clearly they could be special. But I do not have the testicular fortitude that you do to be able to stick my neck out that way on a quarterback that looked awful when we saw him a season ago.
I see what you did there with testicular fortitude.
It's what the back T to the conversation JVT stands for.
Back to the conversation before this segment started. Glenn Shakes Clark. We're going to call you Shakes from now on. Great job. Yeah. Host Press Box, 10 a.m. to noon, 105.7 The Fan, Ravens post game. You can find them on Twitter at Glenn Clark Radio. We're going to talk to you during the season, Glenn. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, guys.
Enjoyed it.
That was... I didn't hear you. I heard you guys talk during the first hour, and then I came on, and there was just a wild conversation going on with our guest before that segment started. So I blame you, Jonathan Bontobel. And by the way, my goodness, are you skinny? Really skinny? Should we discuss it?
If you want. I mean, it's whatever you want, man.
I mean, yoked out. But obviously, since the last time we saw you, lost some weight. Come on, big guy. You see him? It looks tasty.
He commented
Let's
on it
discuss.
The other day.
We're back. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com. Why? You can check out the current betting splits data. You want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game. The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the money, the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can also check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSIN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSIN.com. Also, just a quick plug, don't we have Musburger and Walters tomorrow on our very own network with the sit-down? Looking forward to that. I'm Patrick Maher. John Von Tobel, when he's sitting out with a cocktail watching rain. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson. This is Sharp Money. Just an absolutely tremendous job by the two of you. Now, it had nothing to do with Hurricane Sally or whatever we're calling her, because everybody was checking in. I live in a part of California that was nil affected, although a lot of people uprooted. The two of you, I do have a quick question, and we'll get into, I want to talk Anthony Richardson, and it appears I'm on the snap count that Anthony Richardson is on. I didn't do the first hour.
Right.
He's not going to play in the next preseason game. But quickly, the eyeball thing that I keep seeing, which is absolutely disgusting, but this sphere, you're born and raised in Vegas, the sphere that I keep seeing, is it true that it wasn't waterproof? The donks didn't proof it?
All right, we have to debunk a couple of things. First off, not born and raised. Let's get that out there. Born.
All right, take it easy. Royalty.
Southern California. Royalty. Born in Southern California. All right, Orange County.
Well,
Santa
I didn't
Anna.
Know Amal was here parsing everything we say.
That's right.
Definitely.
At least I'm parsing it correctly. That's it. Yeah, at least I'm doing it right. At least I'm not misrepresenting what he said.
That's facts. No printer.
But so apparently, also to debunk, while that was thought, right, for those who didn't see it, you know, it looked like the sphere was glitching. It actually turns out that there was just like a test of some sort and that was not the case. So shockingly enough, the internet was not true in that regard. So I'll stick up for the sphere.
No, yep. Stick up for the sphere, which is just a disgusting eyesore. No pun intended to look at. I'm glad I missed the first hour, by the way, because I did hear Dustin's unreasonably pissed about Caleb Williams in Georgia. So I'm sure he absolutely just unloaded on you. This hasn't happened in our lifetime. Caleb Williams can't go back to back. Georgia can't go three-peat. You had to take it. How did it go, JVT? Were you good with it?
Well, I got him to admit that, I mean, although the odds also say that too, that Georgia three-peating is the most likely of the two. So I think he came around on that. But it wasn't super intense. You know, we have a good rapport.
You don't think I heard?
Oh, okay.
From what I understand,
you said you had technical
broadcast. From what I understand, the broadcast on Saturday, I picked up my phone at like 7 a.m. Hello? It's the big guy, right? Just checking in. What are we going to do on today's show? Forget today's show. You should have seen me hosting with Jonathan Von Tobel on Saturday. My assumption is 6-7 years of VEASAN, that's the best weekend show they've had. I'm just waiting for the raise.
Okay.
Where did I lie?
First off, I've been on the weekends for quite a bit, so I don't know. I hope that's not the best one in years. Second, it was actually disturbing. with the capital D, because he was really oddly professional.
Oh, yeah. No, so
was really weird.
It's annoying when Dustin gets professional because it's not his – that's not his idol.
100%.
His idol is to be weird and creepy and perverted.
So JVT got thrown off. So he – by the way, he acquiesced. He is the better host, but he's also the better handicapper. So we as a management team felt it was better for me to set him up as the lead host. Literally 45 seconds into the show, he's like, I don't like this. I don't like professional – Dustin, this isn't what I signed up for.
It's weird. It's super weird. It's when you look over and he's trying to be professional, it actually makes you feel awkward. So you want to make it awkward, then you look like the ass. Part of my language. Is that fair, JVT?
Yeah, kind of. And also, I think John Goulet, our boss, knows that if I was in charge, I would have let that thing run wild. So, you know, I think that's part of the reason why. It was a way to contain me as well.
Okay, we'll talk about the weight loss in just a bit and getting yoked, because I've heard you've done some modeling. And before your wife gets nervous, not that type of modeling, he's actually dove into Microsoft Excel and come up with his own power ratings and numbers this year. We're going to walk through that. Generally, people, they're pretty covert about their numbers, but what I'm told is you're actually interested in discussing. So we can, over the next hour and 45 minutes, we can have some fun with that. Let's just circle back to
I'm
where...
I'm here tomorrow, too, you know, so...
Okay, that's perfect. Let's circle back to where I believe you two started, as we had some technical difficulties. Streak is hilarious. I think it is. And I don't know if you heard, I can't remember who it was, 24 straight for Baltimore. They opened like 5. It's down to 1. While we were talking to our guests, it got hit down to 1. So the Commanders, there is a little bit of an angle, and Ron Rivera is coaching for his job, Jonathan, and new ownership. I do think there's a need to impress. The one thing I would say, if you're backing the Commanders, and that's certainly the steamy play right now, Sam Howell has already been anointed the starter. So there's really, and I was listening to a press conference from Rivera trying to get an idea of what he's going to play and who he's going to play. And he said limited. I counted 6 times in a 30-second clip. So limited, limited, limited. I would just be careful if you're all over the Commanders expecting them to want to end the streak, because limited is what the head coach said.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the argument would be for Washington, Patrick, is that their quarterback depth chart is, I guess, a little bit better on the back end, especially if you're going to ask Jacoby Brissett and Jake Fromm to take a vast majority of these snaps. Maybe that's the argument that you're making. But as Dustin and I have talked about, and I've kind of made this note, you know, we have quite a few examples in the preseason so far where the line move was actually the wrong result. You know, we saw last night, for example, the market freak out over the news that SoFi was leaking. That thing closed 35.5 for a total and ends up going over. You know, a couple of the other examples, last Sunday, we saw the 49ers close as 5-point favorites. Market steamed to their direction. They got destroyed. Thursday night, Philadelphia, Cleveland, market freaked out because they thought that the Eagles were actually going to try play some guys. It was Marcus Mariota, ended up in a tie. They didn't cover after opening 1.5, closing 3.5. So I would tend to maybe lean a little bit in the other direction, and not even just the Baltimore thing, just in the sense that, like, look, we just don't know what's going to happen here. Like, to your point, we don't know what Jake Fromm's going to look like behind a third-string offensive line, fourth-string offensive line. The market's freaking out over things that aren't really tangible. So I've kind of taken the mindset of maybe trying to go against line moves in certain opportunities if I feel comfortable enough. This isn't one where I'm super comfortable. You know, in the other instances, I liked Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I liked, you know, Aiden O'Connell, and the fact that Josh McDaniels is a guy who's game planning some of these matchups. This one, not so much.
You know, it's interesting. Professionals that you and I both know, professional sports bettors, when the NFL added week 17 and ripped a preseason game, you know, the pros, the narrative was, oh, we're bummed out. That's where we profit. There's an opportunity. There's leaks in the preseason. I'm sorry. It's been flipped. There's really, I mean, first off, good to go. 13 college starts. Anthony Richardson didn't play this Saturday. You saw Ellinger and Minshew. Like, just the philosophy overall has muddled betting the preseason to a point where there has to be some retooling. There's just no other way around it.
Yeah, I think it's easy to get closing line value, and generally in betting, closing line value leads to profit. If you have the better number than the market does, then more often than not, that's going to lead to, you know, wins for you and profits for you. Having said that, you know, in a preseason where line moves are pretty wild, and you'll generally see, as we saw yesterday, Miami and Houston move 5 points. You know, those are moves that will happen more often. So not all moves are created equal. A 5-point move in an NFL regular season game is massive. A 4-point move, a 5-point move in the preseason doesn't really mean that much. So I think nowadays it's easy to get information and get ahead of a line move, but does that necessarily equate to you winning? I think we're starting to potentially see that that might not be the case. But yeah, it's 1 year. We'll see if that evolves. But that's kind of been my theory after watching these first couple of weeks.
Were you doing shtick when you said Cleveland, or is that your team in division?
Oh, no. I bet them to win the division. I've got Myles Garrett to win Defensive Player of the Year. And look, it's kind of what we were just talking about. And obviously, a lot of this is, you know, gambling and whatnot. But if you get close to 2020 Deshaun Watson, you know, somewhere in between, because I am of the mindset that I don't think that kind of just disappears. Do I think he's going to be the same guy that it looked like was going to be one of the best five quarterbacks in the NFL? No, but do I think he's going to be an above average guy with a team that I think is a lot better on paper than people give them credit for, in a division that is going to cannibalize itself and might produce a really good Bengals team, but 10, maybe 11 wins this thing? I think that's the thing. That's the case. So I just thought at plus 380, given the way that I had handicapped everything, there is a higher probability for Cleveland to win this division than that price would indicate. So yeah, no, I've got 380 to win the division, and I've got Myles Garrett to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Are you off of Baltimore? Me and the big guy, we love the Ravens this year. Plus 235, 10.5. Like you said, it's a brutal division. I just don't see a weakness here. You mentioned the defensive front potentially, but Ojabi's healthy, always healthy. Like, I do like what Baltimore's done, and that backfield is loaded, even if JK gets injured, which he does.
Yeah, I think I'm off in the sense that I'd rather go under, and I wouldn't bet him to win the division. The defensive line does worry me. You look at, like, some of the guys, the dudes that you expect the most out of, you know, we talk about Ojabo, we talk about Michael Pierce, very small sample sizes of work and non-availability a season ago. Some of their guys have played the most snaps, graded really poorly from a defensive standpoint by via PFF a season ago along the defensive line. You mentioned Rock Ya-Sin. Look, I'm a Colts fan. I watch Rock Ya-Sin. There's a reason why he's on another team. I think that there is some downside with that cornerback play and then a lack of depth. And on the other side, breaking in a new offense. So it's not like I'm going to fade them, but I'm definitely looking under a win total and not really looking to bet on some positives, we'll say.
Yeah, I was thinking Ya-Sin just more of an upgrade over Peters,
sure,
who's become such a gambler at this point. Shout to VSiN. Hey, Dustin, now that you're professional and you told me all about it, why don't you tease our next guest, Nick Bruner, in a professional way?
Some odd line moves and things being bet at DraftKings from Nick Bruner, a trader with DraftKings.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, get rewarded before you ever place a bet with the GBank Visa Signature Card. This is pretty great. Unlike other credit cards that decline sports betting transactions, we've all been there, or treat them as a cash advance, the GBank Visa Signature Card, easy for me, can load directly to your favorite sports betting apps. So, like DraftKings, you'll earn 1% cash rewards on gaming and sports app loads every time, and 2% on other purchases. GBank Visa is a card designed for gaming and sports fans everywhere and works with the apps like DraftKings, BetMGM, and Caesars. To learn more, go to g.bank/VSiN. g.bank/VSiN. Pretty cool. I've had so many cards. I know Jonathan Von Tobel, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. So many cards declined, issues. GBank has got you figured. Okay, we mentioned DraftKings. How about DraftKings senior trader Nick Bruner joining us here on Sharp Money? First off, are you rested? Are you prepared? Because it's about to go down. Week zero gets going on Saturday, and it's just a grind through February. Are you prepared, Nick?
Yes, sir. Just got off a week of PTO just to get ready for the college football year, and then obviously that goes right into college hoops. So we've got a really busy season coming ahead, guys. And I can tell you today, we saw a huge increase in and the college football betting, it definitely reminded me that the season is just 5 days away.
Well, no, it's funny. Dustin and I were discussing earlier on the phone. I was like, people wait until 10 minutes before kickoff to bet games. But this week, it's going to be a little bit different because so many people are into it, and DraftKings has such a menu. Let's start there. Let's start up with the action report on week zero and week one. Are you starting to see an increase here?
Oh, definitely. This morning was just a complete flurry of week zero, a little bit of week one, and a lot of win totals getting bet this morning. A lot of money coming in on Ohio in that week zero matchup versus San Diego State. That line's all the way under a field goal now. We opened 5.5 very early in the summer, and it's just been constant money coming in on Ohio. So I'm going to be honest, I'm a little surprised to see that drop to under a field goal, but here we are. That's why they play, I guess.
From a win total standpoint, you mentioned that you get some action in regard to the win totals. Anything notable in terms of win totals this week? Can I start maybe like with Colorado? Are they buying into Deion and the social media tags on the back of the jerseys?
Absolutely. The guys love Colorado, the win total, the Pac-12 conference winner. We even have a exact win market on the site where if you think Colorado is going to win 7 or more games or 6 exactly or 5 exactly, I can tell you guys right now we have a very large six-figure decision on Colorado winning 7 or more
Stop.
Games this year.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
We can't slow the money down on them.
He is Nick Bruner joining us, DraftKings senior trader. Jonathan, he's incredible. I think he's a bit of a donk, that being Deion, but what he's going to do for that program, he's going to bail in 2 or 3 years, Jonathan, but what he's done is incredible.
Oh, I mean, look, I say this. I am going to watch the most Colorado football I've ever watched in my life, and it's because of what is happening over there. So he's got an effect. It's just, it's incredible to see that, but circle that September 16th game, boys, home against Colorado State. Good spot for the Rams, tell you that right now.
Don't hate it. Regular season wins, exact wins. I'm looking at the menu over at DraftKings right now. You nailed it with the exact wins. Another team that you're monitoring, Nick, is Michigan State. I'm down on the Spartans this year. How about the bettors over at DraftKings?
Earlier in the summer, we took some under money on them. I think a lot of that might have to do with the late quarterback transfer of Peyton Thorne leaving the program and kind of some uncertainty there. But I can also tell you recently we've seen a little bit more of some buyback on that over 5.5 win total. So I think the market's starting to settle down there, and we're kind of at a good number of 5.5, I think, plus 135 on the over. But definitely the early sharp money was all under. As the season gets closer, though, we're starting to see a little buyback on that win total, maybe some public money getting into it. But I'd say that more of the sharp money came in on them under.
All right, what about let's stay in the Big Ten, Iowa, where your offense coordinator has some clauses in his contract that he's got to reach certain benchmarks. What are we expecting from the Hawkeyes? Because I'll say this, in the college football betting guide, very few, except for one, selected the Iowa Hawkeyes to get to a Big Ten title game.
I think the schedule sets up pretty favorable for the Hawkeyes. As far as DraftKings, we've kind of been lower on than the market on the Hawkeyes. I think, kind of as you alluded to, just the every year is a problem scoring with that offense, and it's kind of one of those teams where they have to prove it to us. With that being said, the bettors absolutely love this team. Over 8 wins, 11 or more exact wins is another six-figure decision for us. But there are some people out there that are really high on this Hawkeye team.
Let's get to know our senior trader over at DraftKings, Nick Bruner. We might as well, because we're going to talk to you all season, and you guys do a great job. I joked about it, but they don't sleep over there. It's constant, DraftKings. Question for you. Your school, where'd you go? Who's your team?
I'm a graduate of Appalachian State University, proud Mountaineer. Go Fun Belt. That's my school. I don't know how – I'm not as high on them this year. A lot of turnover. Lost Chase Bryce at quarterback, Donovan Peoples-Jones. But I have fond memories of us beating Michigan, and that's my school, guys.
That is – I remember it to this day. App State week one beating Michigan. Jonathan, you probably weren't even born yet.
Hit with that this weekend. Yeah, it was 2007, right? I was 16. Okay.
Take it easy. App State, some expectations, Nick, that they will be down this year. I'm looking for the win total y'all posted. Where are you at on App State?
So we're at 6.5. I think there's a couple sevens out there. We have taken some money on App State to win the Sun Belt at 7-1. I think we're down to closer to 6-1 now. We did take some sharp money on them to win the conference. Not a lot of action on the win total. It's probably right where it needs to be at 6.5. But again, another team that I'm surprised by the kind of the action on the conference winner. But keep in mind, with James Madison unable to win the Sun Belt this year, that kind of opens it up for teams like App State, Coastal, you know, maybe even Georgia State, although the schedule's really tough for them. I'm looking forward to some Sun Belt football this year.
Yeah, overall, in terms of building this up, focusing on that, I'm actually really intrigued by Marshall. I think they've got a lot coming back. That could be a pretty good team. And also, like, how highly do you rate South Alabama? Because they've got a ton. I think they got, like, what, 18 guys back?
Yeah, Carter Bradley, the MAC transfer. They were a team that really surprised us last year, especially early in the year. If you remember, it just seemed like every South Alabama game took steam, like 3 points off the opening number, and it took a long time for the market to catch up to South Alabama. I think this year the markets are kind of on to how good South Alabama is. They're going to have a big game. I believe it's at Troy. That'll decide a lot, I think. But South Alabama and Troy are two teams that I think are very, very good teams and would beat a lot of Power 5 conference teams.
You're sitting right now, Nick Bruner, DraftKings senior trader here on Sharp Money. You're sitting right now, what, 20.5 with Notre Dame on Saturday in Ireland?
Yes, sir.
Any action either way that's notable?
You know what? It's funny you mention that, because I'd say it's almost notable of the lack of clear support for either side. You know, with a big team like Notre Dame in a Ireland matchup, you'd expect, you know, so much. It would just be such a high profile matchup that one way or the other, somebody's eventually going to get the right side. But it seems like that line has stayed right at 20 all summer, never higher, never lower. You know, maybe 19.5 or 20.5, but it's almost surprising how little that line has moved. So, you know, maybe some unknowns with Navy, but I'm thinking Sam Hartman and that Notre Dame offense is going to be able to move the ball pretty well. A little bit of action on the over. I'm excited for that one too, guys.
Yeah, Nick, where'd you guys open the total? Were you guys at 49.5 at the open?
I think we were right. I want to say we opened 50. That's okay. Another one where not a ton of movement on the number. I know there was some early over money coming in, but not a whole lot to report here at DraftKings on that total or the
Jonathan, you were pointing to the sky. Are you going over in that matchup, Navy Notre Dame, Jonathan?
Yeah, that's the thought.
Okay, let's come back and discuss. Nick, listen, a big season ahead. We look forward to talking to you. Do a great job, Nick Bruner, DraftKings senior trader. Thank you so much, bro. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Look forward to talking again.
Those dudes are going to be grinding. Yes. Pizza, coffee. It's just a long year. And will be too, because you got a model. I want to hear about this model. It's actually dangerous to wave into those waters. You know, see what I'm saying?
It is. It is. But yeah, we'll talk about it. I like it. Journalistic endeavor. It's what I've slugged it as.
I failed Microsoft Excel. Could I come up with my own model?
You could. Just a lot of YouTube.
YouTube, dude, I do that for everything. Cook a turkey? YouTube.
That's right.
Model betting? YouTube. We're going to come back. Let's go Navy Notre Dame.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
That's something. Football is ready to kick off, and VSIN has everything you need to make this a successful season. Our college football betting guide features best bets from writers and on-air personalities, along with team previews for all 133 FBS teams. Our NFL betting guide will help you tackle the upcoming NFL season, in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems. Maybe one day JVT will lend his proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and get our college football and NFL betting guide. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Just a quick shout out to those that care, as we have some sort of alarm going off at the South Point. The boys, of course, Jonathan Von Tobel and Dustin Sweetelson, can handle it. I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money. Quick shout out to those that care. Okay, I'm going to eliminate Jonathan Von Tobel immediately. Does not care about your boy. I'm going to eliminate John Goulet. Doesn't care. I'm going to eliminate Len Mead. No concern. Bill A.D., nada.
That's getting dangerous.
Dustin Sweetelson, not at all. You know who cares? Adam Burke. And the reason I thought about it is because he obviously helps write up the guide. Who checked in from our company with your boy going through a hurricane by himself yesterday with a little white dog? The one person that checked in, Berkey, Adam Burke. Shout out, Jonathan, defend yourself.
I don't care. So
yeah, that's facts. I mean, listen, I like the honesty. The big guy. Now the big guy did write, "What's up over there?" Wasn't concerned, but asked questions. I think I have to put that in the concern category. So you're absolved, Dustin Sweetle.
So my motivation for that was, for those that don't know, there was a time where I was in Los Angeles and Patrick was here in Vegas. Now we have swapped, and there were riots happening literally on my block in LA during the pandemic one night. And Patrick, very concerned, by the way, didn't like me that much then either, hits me up and was like, "Hey man, do I need to come to LA and come get you and save you from the riot so you don't die tonight?" There was literally like fires going off at the park around the corner. I was like, "No, I think I'll make it." So I thought, there's hurricanes in LA. I think I am obligated to pay him back and check in on him.
It was one of those, I could tell the message you didn't really care to send, but you sent it because that's what you're supposed to do as a human. And so I appreciated that.
Because the issue would have been if you're like, "No, dude, things are a mess and I have nowhere to stay," I would feel like I'm obligated to offer you a place to stay. And I just...
No, but then Patrick becomes a jerk, because then if he's like, "Yeah, can you come and get me?" Because then now it's like, dude, relax. Like, what do you want from me? All right, you're out there in Southern California.
I'll hop in my boat. I'll come get you.
Yep. By the way, Adam Burke,
the oddity.
Can I say really quickly?
Yeah, please,
I'm going to have a controversial take. Adam Burke, too nice. Makes me uncomfortable.
No. You know what's weird? His sometimes his resting face belies the soul that's within. Like, he often has a curmudgeonly look on his face. Very handsome, but curmudgeonly. And then you get to know him, just a teddy bear. Just nicest guy ever.
That's what I'm saying. Too nice.
Well, you know what's interesting? So I was in Vegas. You were in L.A. We flipped. And this also, the Von Tobels are legends in Vegas, yet he was born in California. There's a lot going on with these two states today.
Yeah, well, my dad moved a lot. We moved around a lot when I was a kid. I actually lived in Texas for a year, I think, when I was like two. We moved around a lot at the beginning. But we're back. We're back. And tell you this, at least with people that are like 70 and older now, they know my last name. That's about it.
Hot take. Yeah. Hot take for the two of you. I'm not sold on Marcus Freeman. I know social media. Notre Dame head coach year two, 9-4 last year, started 0-2, won 9 of 11 to close out. Actually lost, week two to Marshall. That wasn't great. A win in the bowl over Clemson. No, excuse me. It wasn't the bowl. They beat Clemson when they were ranked 4 at the time. So really rallied Notre Dame. I know social loves him, and he does have a great vibe about him. We shall see. The one thing they did do, they hit the portal, and they landed a pro in a fifth-year starter in Sam Hartman. I mean, that is a massive upgrade at quarterback. A great offensive line, deep running back position, questions outside at wide receiver. But this is a team that's loaded, and we can go through the schedule. But just overall, let's start there with the coach and the quarterback, and we'll talk about Navy Notre Dame from Dublin in just a bit here, JBT.
I actually think, Patrick, I'd go against it. I think the hot take is if you believe in Marcus Freeman. We're talking to a lot of people. I mean, and I'm just, my view might be slanted because I keep hearing Matt Heumann's voice in my head, and I don't think he's very high on Freeman at all. And some of the handicappers here as well, from a coach that adds wins at the margins. It doesn't seem like he's there yet with some of the respect. And there are some other instances that you failed to mention too, you know, going throughout this. You know, the loss to Stanford, the fact that you take on a UNLV team last year on their third string quarterback and you can't cover that number. Like, there's a lot of little things that we've seen from Notre Dame that have been less than impressive. So I would agree with the thought that if you think that you're a little down on them coming into this year from that perspective, I would agree with it. And I think Hartman does add something here. My angle for it, actually, I talked about this with Stormy 2 weeks ago on Lombardi Line. Sam Hartman pass yards for the season over. It's under 3,000 yards. It's at about like 2850, 2950. And it kind of ties in with what you saw from the quarterbacks in this system last year. But he's not one of those quarterbacks from last year. You're going to believe in him a little bit more. He's going to have more dropbacks. They're going to be more aggressive. I think if you believe in Notre Dame, you think that Hartman's going to be the guy. If you don't want to bet win totals, if you don't want to bet week to week, I think betting Hartman over his passing yards is going to be something really interesting to look at.
Don't disagree. Wide receivers, big guy, not overly established. Jaden Thomas, that's one. I would say the concern for Notre Dame up front defensively, there are question marks. Defensive front, you always look there. But I think the two of you would agree with me. This comes down to three games, a run of three games. That's September 23rd, home versus Ohio State, October 14th, USC, and then November 4th at Clemson. They win two of three, that's a fringe playoff team. You lose two of those three, you're out. Fair? Both of you?
Yeah, but sometimes you just don't know what you're getting from them. I think over the years, and this may have been an indictment on Brian Kelly, but we only saw it for 1 year from Marcus Freeman. Notre Dame is so good at playing down to bad opponents, playing up to good opponents. So they're so hard to predict week in and week out. They'll let an underwhelming Pitt or Louisville or NC State hang around with them, but at the same time, you don't know what you're going to get versus Ohio State on September 23rd. They can end up going shot for shot with them. You just don't know what you're getting with this team a lot of times. And Marcus Freeman's a guy, look, I'm willing to ride the upside that he can figure out how to become the head coach of Notre Dame, but it's a weird move overall to keep him, right? Like, it's Notre Dame. A national search for a head coach in Notre Dame is like you open it up and the email inbox is full in 5 minutes. That's how it should work over there. So I do have concerns about, like, when you just take the guy because he's there and he's passionate about the program. I guess the question I would have for you guys, Hartman's in. Am I crazy that I don't think losing Tommy Rees was a big deal?
No, I don't think so. Because at least you're offsetting it with Hartman.
Yeah.
You know, so I know I would agree with that. Now, I think it sucks the time in which they lost him. If I remember correctly, it was a little bit later, right,
in
the offseason schedule. So
correct.
I think that's a little bit more impactful. But no, I would think if you're bringing in a guy like Hartman, it does offset it a little bit when you're losing a guy like that. And Patrick, can I add, you mentioned the key dates. I would not sleep on October 7th. Going on the road against Louisville is going to be an interesting spot there because it's right before you have to take on USC. Louisville is a team that a lot of people are pretty high on. I know our own Matt Heumann is as well. Could be a little bit of a solid year there. I think that I would not sleep on what that October 7th game is because that's a brutal spot to be in after the road game against Duke, right before you take on USC.
Nice work. And correction from me, 5-year starter at Wake. So this is year 6 for Hartman as a grown-ass man.
And he had guys. Like, he had Surratt years ago.
He's so good.
He had A.T. Perry as a receiver, you know, and you could say, like, Hartman made them special, but, like, I think he might have had better outside threats at Wake Forest than he currently has at Notre Dame.
I mean, there's an argument to be made, too, that the system as well, right? That slow mesh system, like that could be something that really behooves a quarterback and really raises their floor. So now in a more pro-style system, what does that look like for him as well? I think there's legitimate questions as to what that looks like.
Are we still sitting 9 on the regular season win total, under juice to 170? We can take a look. By the way, you mentioned Louisville. Brohm is going to win a national championship there. People sleep on the amount of money that the athletic administration has at Louisville, and it is just absolutely wide open to win. And Brohm is a deity there. Like, the Brohm family in Louisville, I know I repeat myself all the time with this, like, they're gods. He's going to recruit his ass off on that coast.
They were flirting with each other for years, it seemed like.
He didn't leave. I actually give him credit for not bailing on Purdue.
Yeah.
Remember we talked to him? He's super charming.
Oh, he's great. I basically paid for one full player's NIL for the year just in the amount of that garlic sauce you get with the Papa John's pizza to get an extra one. Over the years, I've put enough money in that they afforded an extra player on the Louisville roster because of it.
I haven't had Papa John's in, I think, like 10 years.
Although, of the chains, it's the best.
Although, really? I think you two would agree with me. Papa John's is good. You're crazy. You're just too skinny now.
I'm open to it. I haven't tried it. I will say Pizza Hut has gone downhill, especially since you lost the salad bar,
Pizza
the
Hut.
Red Cups.
Gotta eat it there.
The red cups that you see, you could literally still see the smudges from other people's thumbs.
The lip marks. Disgusting. Yeah, the lip marks. Yep, everything.
Hey, one thing we all agree on. Louisville, where they play at that Papa John Stadium, aesthetically, it does not come off well on television. Fair?
Yes, fair.
It's disgusting. All right, when we come back, you, of course, got a game tonight. Washington and Baltimore. The Rooster, Chris Russell, covers the Commanders. He joins us.